That was a really peculiar music cue, Richard. But that was taken from my son's DJ mix, so I have only Arnie to blame. Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Bruce Salin. And please like the A Dad's Point of View Facebook page. The A Dad's Point of View Facebook page. We're only about 142 likes away from 5,000, and I would love that. It is time for the Women's Room with Dr. Jennifer Weberman, who's a psychologist and parent coach with a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom. She can be found at theparentingplayground.com, and I'm shortening my introduction because I want to get right into it with you, Dr. Jennifer.
How are you?
I am great. I am going skiing this weekend. My column, I don't know if you got a chance to watch any of those videos in my column, How Skiing Can Cure Cancer, which is, I will put that in my top 10 list of best titles ever. Obviously, I don't believe skiing can cure cancer, but I just love making a title that is provocative. I know you don't ski. I know you do other things. So we have extrapolated the column for this week's radio show to be really about the value of sports to our kids, for our kids, its impact on their lives, positive and negative. And I know you have some thoughts at the beginning about the value of it. So let me hear some of those, and then I'd like to challenge you on some of the other sides of the issue.
Oh, absolutely. I look forward to you challenging me. Well, I think a lot of the benefits are things that we're all familiar with. I mean, we're in a battle against obesity right now, and any time a child is physically active, we're fighting against that. Children need, as a benchmark, about 60 minutes of exercise a day. And that doesn't have to be strenuous exercise, but anything that strengthens the cardiovascular system. When we pump blood faster through the body, more oxygen gets to the cells, gets to the brain. So we're thinking more clearly. It's associated with improved memory. We release endorphins. So there's a mood component. Children who maybe suffer from depression or anxiety get some benefits from exercise.
Well, let's talk about that. That, to me, has always been my drug of choice. When I'm not feeling good, especially when I was younger, when I used to run more, when I wasn't feeling good, meaning in my head, I'd go for a run. I remember one night, it's so interesting how we carry certain memories with us, but I remember one night, I was living on my own, it was shortly after I'd gotten out of college, I had my first apartment, and it was raining torrentially, and I think it must have been some girlfriend problem, breakup or something like that, and I was just really upset, and I decided I was going to go out for a run, even though it was raining. And I ran probably 7, 8, or 9 miles in the rain. And by the time I got home, obviously thoroughly drenched, I had run out my anger, mood, whatever, to the point of the exhaustion alone just got me out of being in my head. And so I think the value of exercise in many cases is overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, well, endorphins are a neurotransmitter that focuses like an opiate. So it does give you that pleasure component. Plus, if you're tense about something, like a breakup, or you're upset about something, the physical release of that energy, rather than bottling it up inside, is very healthy. I think there's another piece that's important to this in our culture, is that we tend to be very focused on results and not process. And so kids grow up hearing about all these athletes, you know, whether they be Olympic athletes or in sports teams, and how great they are. But we don't talk about their process of getting there. And when kids participate in sports, they get to see things. We're not just born with certain talents or skills. We have to develop them and hone them over time with practice. And they actually get to see their own progress being made within an activity. And they generalize that to life.
So that's a wonderful, you're so right, and it makes so much sense.
It does, because then I can say, okay, I'm not good at this other thing, but I know that if I practice really hard and persist long enough, I can get better. And that's really important, especially for perfectionistic children. So that's another benefit of it, and it's just good for our immune system, plus the social piece. You know, when you go into the work world, there's team building that's important. There's goal setting and working towards goals and persistence that's important. And kids who participate in sports get a lot of practice with that that's going to help them later in life. And I think those are all the good things about sports.
So are there things that you see as detrimental? And I imagine they're only tied to parental control or mostly tied to parents overwhelming their kids or pushing their kids.
I think sometimes parents forget that children can get a healthy amount of exercise without the activities being so structured. And I think children now have a much more structured schedule than they've ever had before.
Without a doubt.
I know that when parents call me up to say, I'd like to bring my child in for therapy, the amount of scheduling coordination just to find an hour once a week because they've got this on Mondays and this on Tuesdays and this on Wednesdays, and it's so packed that I don't think they're getting as much downtime as would be healthy for children. So I think that's definitely a detriment.
I think it applies, by the way, whether they're in sports or not. My son right now is, my younger son is very active in the theater department, and he's in rehearsals to play Marius in Les Mis next month, his first big part. I'm very excited for him. But rehearsals are every day after school till 5, most every Saturday all day long. Then they have Hell Week, which is the week before the show where it's even more intense, and often those weeks coincide with finals and midterms. So he is just pushed and pulled. Now, he loves it, but sometimes he's like the walking wounded. He's so tired.
I think it's such a great opportunity to teach children about finding balance. And that's a lifelong lesson. I haven't perfected it myself, I just get better and better at it.
And that's our topic. That's our topic, actually, at Dad Chat tonight. We're talking about boundaries, which is an aspect of balance.
Oh, that's perfect. I'm looking forward to it. I think that when you have a passion for something, it's beautiful. And having a passion for something means that you're going to commit a certain amount of time to it. And if you're part of a team, then you're part of a greater commitment. And that's all wonderful. And at the same time, your body needs certain things. And teaching children to pay attention to their bodies, and if it's not getting what it needs, for example, sleep, then it's just sort of looking at your life and saying, where can I make a cut?
Exactly.
A lot of these kids, it's not that they're not having enough time in bed, but they're so stimulated from their day that they don't know how to shut down.
Or they leave their phone on.
Technology, exactly.
They leave their phone on.
They don't know how to turn off.
Exactly. That's a huge problem. Let's talk about girls in sports. I mean, in my lifetime, there's been an absolute sea change. What girls did when I went to high school, if they had any athletic inclinations, they became a cheerleader. And that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
There were a handful of women's sports or girls' sports. Now, of course, between Title IX and just women growing into so many wonderful new ways and participating in so many things, in some cases I think too many, but in most cases I think it's healthy, you must see a lot of change in how girls are being raised and the impact of sports on girls' lives.
Yeah, I mean, Title IX had a huge influence. What was that, 1972, around there?
Mm-hmm.
And it had a lot of health benefits for girls because women of, you know, my grandmother's generation, osteoporosis and things like that were huge health issues because girls were not encouraged to be active. So, you know, definitely when we've been participating in sports, there's been health benefits. But what I think is more interesting is that the statistics now show that girls who play sports are less likely to have unwanted pregnancies, higher self-esteem, better grades, and higher graduation rates.
You're referring to girls alone.
Girls, right, specifically
right.
Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, on top of the health benefits. And what I think is a big part of that is that our culture sends girls messages that their bodies are decorative. And sports send the message that your body is functional. And I think when girls see their body as something that's strong and it has a function beyond being decorative, there's something that happens to a girl. Their confidence, their self-esteem is much more well-rounded and less limited. And if parents have a young girl that wants to participate in sports, something that doesn't focus on weight. I mean, there are definitely things like dance where there's a weight focus, kind of like for boys, it's wrestling. Mm-hmm. So that can be harmful, but for young girls to really participate actively in sports, really do see themselves in a very different way. Plus, all that goal setting and team building that I talk about, I mean, that's part of the workforce. And they found a statistic I thought was interesting, is that 80% of female executives from Fortune 500 companies identified themselves when they were younger as tomboys where they played a sport.
Wow, very interesting.
And I think that those are skills that, you know, in a male-dominated workforce, those are skills that we don't develop as quickly if we're not participating in some of the things that boys are participating in, such as organized sports.
We're nearly out of time. I only have one little comment I want to add to that. A downside that I observed, my son, my older son, who's now in college, when he was in high school, he had a platonic girlfriend who was absolutely cute as a button. She got really active in sports. And after a year or two, she started looking and walking like a boy. It blew my mind. She was very tall. She played volleyball. She was like 6 feet tall. But the way she moved, she lost the cuteness almost completely. And I don't even know. I just looked at her and I thought, I'm not even sure what to say about that, except that it was, I thought, an odd byproduct of her participation in sports.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's, you know, across the board a truth. Maybe an exception, and maybe that's just actually who she naturally was.
Could be. Maybe that brought it out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, at that age, you're going to change who you are 100 times. So,
yeah.
But that was an odd observation, and it didn't strike me as necessarily a good one, but I could be an old fart in that regard. Listen, we're out of time. Please tell our listeners where they can find you.
TheParentingPlayground.com, and on Facebook, we're on the same name.
And, of course, if you come to Dad Chat, Dr. Weberman is usually there sharing her wisdom, and you can actually have a live interaction if you come to Dad Chat, which is every Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific time and 9 p.m. East Coast time. Thank you, Dr. Jennifer.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, we will be right back with these closing messages after these messages.
To the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In Between. Do not mess with Mr. In Between, no, no. With Mr. In Between.